From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, welcome to this week's edition of Naps Chat. This is Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs here, and I am joined today by members of the Legislative Committee of our Executive Board, because the Executive Board is here in the Washington area for their semi-annual meeting. Marilyn Walton, who is the chairman of the Legislative Committee, who's from California. We have Kevin Traer from Michigan, Jimmy Warden from New York, Jaime Elizondo from Texas, and Robert Quinlan from Florida. So I want to kick this off right now, and I'll start with you, Marilyn, as the chairperson, Madam Chair. If you can tell me what you are doing in California to sort of promote the legislative and political agenda of the National Association of Postal Supervisors, because everyone is really excited about legislation and politics these days, because next year is an election year. We have a lot of legislation we're considering. Take it away, Marilyn.
Good afternoon, Bob. It's really good to have this opportunity to talk with you and have my whole team here with us today together. What we do prior to coming up here to Washington, we kind of talk together online, or sometimes we have a telecon, but we sort of contribute some of the activities we've been doing over the last few months since we met in spring at the last LTS and spring board meeting. So in California, we still have the legislative coalition, and we're looking forward and planning on our 21st year event in California. Also, we've been promoting a lot of activities, a meeting with our various legislators who are having events, town halls. So I sort of coordinate with our state legislative persons to see that they get out to special events and activities. And I really appreciate the support of the national, sometimes as sponsors for several events. And of course, we work very hard to promote SPAC, because that's very important. And of course, we're all looking at your legislative report card. That's very, very important to us. And sometimes we're a little surprised, because we have people that we know are very postal friendly, but I'm not seeing any dots by their names. So one of the things I'm going to focus on as I go back is I'm going to get with the legislative chairs in our states, all of my states. I have 13 states. But, of course, California is one of the biggest areas that I focus on, but all of them are important. I'm going to look at who doesn't have dots by their names, and I'm going to contact those chairs, and I'm going to encourage them to look at the legislation that we have listed and see if we can get some support on that legislation.
Yeah, what Marilyn is referring to, for those who are listening, is that in the October issue of the Postal Supervisors magazine is a legislative report card which lists the members of Congress and what NAP-supported bills they have co-sponsored. So when Marilyn refers to the dot by the name, that means they're in our good graces, because they co-sponsored legislation that NAP support. Let me turn up to Jaime. Now, Jaime, you represent a very large state, and Texas is extraordinarily large. Everything is big in Texas, as we know. And there's a lot of activity there, open congressional seats. So what I'm curious, and I know you've gone to a number of events and met with members of the Texas congressional delegation, whether it be the LTS or back at home. Tell me, what is the message that you're sending to elected members of Congress to promote the NAPS agenda because of the political activity that's going on in Texas?
Well, obviously, Bob, thank you. The major focus is to make them aware of what our opportunities are out there for them to support postal reform and the various bills and resolutions that are out there. We also seized the opportunity recently. Congressman asked me to attend one of his events here in D.C., and so attended there, shared the information, re-invited him again to attend one of the plants, do a plant visit. They took me up on the offer. It took a little coordination between the area, the district, and the plant, but we got it done, and the congressman was very pleased and very surprised at all the activity that went on behind the scenes in the plant, because typically people see their carrier, they may see their window clerk, and they don't see all of the touches in between. So as the district and the plant presented their information on what they do, how many pieces they handle, et cetera, I was point blank. I told them, they can't lobby, I can. I'm looking for your support. Correct. We've supported you in the past, and now we're looking for your support. I used the opportunity, and I don't want to say the lazy way out, but I said, hey, Ivan, Bob, what have they supported? What do we need them support on? And you gave me that information, and I just basically read off the list. And again, thanked them for the ones that he supported, and encouraged them to vote on the other bills that are still out there and do their co-sponsorship as well.
Great. Now, Robert from Florida, the scene from the Sunshine State. One of the unique things about Florida is Florida has a very engaged NAPS membership. Time and time again, SPAC just shines down in Florida. So I'm curious, number one, how you promote from the political perspective, because we have to elect NAPS-friendly members of Congress and re-elect those that have supported us. How do you energize a state like Florida that's time and time again up on top of the SPAC list? How do you get these folks involved in politics?
First, I'd like to congratulate the state of Florida. They've been number one in the country for the last 15 years in SPAC contributions. I mean, that's a feat in itself. But they work hard at it. Like you said, we have a lot of people in Florida who stay very energized with their congressmen and senators back home. And that's the big plus. Not only do we see them up here in March, but back home is the most important part, because now you're seeing them in their home districts, and that's where you get the push from. Like Marilyn and Jaime both said, that we get a lot of invitations from them to come to their fundraisers. We get to sit and talk with them. We can talk postal issues. Right now, what we're pushing for in the state of Florida is I have a lot of them going to see their congressman on helping us reform Title 39. That's going to be a big push in the future for the Postal Service.
And that is educating them about the consultative process. Exactly. And the failure of the current consultative process.
That's a big thing, the failure of the consultative process. But it's great. We hold a lot of functions to raise money for NAPS. Every branch that has a meeting has a 50-50 raffle. We have a state raffle, which we sell raffles to earn money. We have a silent auction at most of our functions. So it's really good. Florida and Georgia, they've been pushing and pushing, and it's paying off. It really is, Bob.
Now let's move to Jimmy Warden from New York. Now, Jimmy, you have an interesting situation. You have the Senate minority leader coming from the state of New York. That is Chuck Schumer, who has a close relationship with NAPS members, as demonstrated last year's LTS when he invited us up to his personal hideaway up in the Capitol. But also, New York has a lot of freshman members for this Congress. So I just would like to know how the New York NAPS members balance between having a true leader within the Senate who knows postal issues and those freshman members of the House who need to be educated.
Good afternoon, Bob, and thank you for this opportunity. Yes, we did meet with Senator Schumer, who has always, as you know, been a good friend of ours, very pro-post office. And Tommy Romer and myself, as well as out in Staten Island, we met with Max Rose, who's a freshman congressman. And we did educate him on many of the issues, many of the concerns, and he was very, very interested in helping us out. We also helped him out with certain things that he had concerns in his district, which kind of brought him on board with us. He had concerns with some mail delivery issues, et cetera, so we put him in touch with the right folks where he can get those issues corrected, such as putting mailbox parcel lockers out there, et cetera, to help his constituents. And therefore, he seen that we were truly concerned with these issues. He then became concerned with our issues also, because as he knew, many of postal workers do reside in the Staten Island area within his district. We also were trying to meet up with AOC, Ms. Ocasio-Cortez, to also educate her on some of these bills. I see that she has already signed on for two of the resolutions, and there's a couple issues that she has mentioned in certain hearings that she is concerned with and would like to see happen, such as postal banking and things of that sort.
Great. Now, Kevin, you're batting cleanup right now. What I want to talk to you about, you have two interesting phenomena in the state of Michigan. Number one, you have the ranking Democrat on the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee. That's Gary Peters, who is facing election in 2020. In addition, you have another strong NAPS supporter. In fact, a NAPS member, Brenda Lawrence from Southfield, Michigan, who is a strong supporter of NAPS issues and of the Postal Service. So there also, you need to balance educating Gary Peters, because this is Senator Peters is new to the ranking member slot on the Senate panel. And then you have Brenda Lawrence, who knows her stuff cold. I mean, she could teach us some things.
Thank you, Bob, for the opportunity. And yeah, Brenda Lawrence even went into the Postal Service and wanted to see the new prototypes of the carrier vehicles. And it's kind of funny how you just said that, because she sat down in the seat and said, no, that mirror's not in the right spot. This isn't a great place. This isn't going to help the carrier here or anything like that. So you're right. She just went right into the seat and did it. But I was really excited. You and Ivan, through our SPAC funds, were able to get a meeting with Gary Peters. We were up here on the Hill, and we were kind of intimidated because I had a first-time legislative chair with me from the state with me. And we go down there, and we go up onto this big, nice building, and we walk in there, and we certainly felt like we were the small dogs in there. But that couldn't have been any more true, not true. They welcomed us in as the actual maybe stars of the show, our organization. I mean, we were in there with some big hitters, millionaires and things like that, but we were given the most time to speak and to get our points out. I'm really excited this year because we've had a few branches of Michigan change leadership. I became a freshman in legislation back in 1997, and I've enjoyed it ever since. And also in Indiana, we have some challenges. But I've always learned over the years doing this to never make this a Republican-Democrat issue. You need to just go in and say our piece to everybody. But we also do need to help our friends. And what we did just recently that's kind of co-mingled with the Michiana area that I represent and the others in the Central Region is we just had the Central Region Symposium. And during that time, I'm very proud to say that we were able, with Luz Moreno chairing that particular committee, at the event, raise $6,400 for our Supervisors Political Action Committee. And I think it's imperative that we need to continue that focus. We need to do to have our new legislative chairs or people that are representing our branches look at the scorecards and things that we're going to be using and go forward. But I was also excited because I had me and the state chair where they got the last two seats at that Senate hearing in March. And Senator Peters mentioned my plant that closed as being one of the travesties of the postal decision. Mm-hmm. So I'm just excited that what we do at the grass level really does mean something.
Now, Madam Chair, there are a lot of state presidents out there and NAPS members who don't necessarily recognize that political activism and legislative activism is their insurance policy against privatization of the Postal Service and an insurance policy to protect universal service obligation. Can you message them or give a shout out to them to why they should be involved, not only rely on you folks, the legislative committee of NAPS, or the professional staff here in headquarters, but how they have to also actively participate in protecting their own interests?
Well, you know, when I promote legislation along with our team, I often tell people when I talk to them, postal people at NAPS events, that we are the professionals. We know the ins and outs all about the Postal Service. Like Kevin was talking about Brenda Lawrence, she's a retired postal employee. We're the experts. If we want to secure our future, we are tasked with educating our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, all of the people that we come in contact with. We need to tell them what's important about the Postal Service, and particularly as employees and retirees, and I'm talking about all employees, craft and management, whenever we can have that conversation, we need to explain what's going on, because the general public recognize a mailbox. They recognize a carrier. They know who a clerk is. But some of the jobs that we do, and I mean, there are many. Maybe they notice the vehicles out there. But we are so diverse as an organization. We really have to show them that we are the ties that binds the country together. You know, we were the original, and we're in the Constitution, and there is enough information to show that we have importance no matter what new technology comes along. I just found out I was at a postal meeting, and I found out that because of Google and those companies that do mapping, that they are relying on the Postal Service to declare where things are, you know, in emergencies. Because, you know, out in California, we deal with fires, earthquakes, everything. I didn't realize that Google and all those companies that do mapping depend on the security of our data. So we need to know that. We need to share with particularly our employees, and again, our friends and family and everyone, how important it is to maintain a public postal service.
Now, let me open this up to everyone at the table, and whoever wants to chime in. We have the legislative training seminar coming up in the spring, which is our annual event where we have the opportunity for our members to come to Washington to lobby directly the members of Congress, but just as important, their legislative staff people who actually advise them on legislation. So I want to kick it out to you. How do you establish relationships with staff members, and how you use the time at LTS to the benefit of your members, and how you encourage our members to come to Washington for the LTS. Whoever would like to chime in first. Jaime, I think you're reaching for the microphone.
A lot of people don't understand what actually goes up at legislative training. It's an opportunity to meet other NAPS members and see what they do, to talk to the Bob Quillens of the world. Hey, what are you doing with SPAC? Talk to Marilyn about her coalition and take their groundwork that they've done and take it back to your home city, home states, and replicate.
So it's like a best practices forum.
Absolutely. And I think what people don't, they get a little intimidated, but it's just like what we're doing right now. It's just having a conversation. When you're trying to present the policies or the bills that you want to have them support, you're just having a conversation. And it's very important for members that are within that congressional district to talk to them, because you're their vote. They listen more. They'll listen to me as an area VP, but they'll really listen to you if you have their vote. If you can vote for them, they're going to pay a little bit more attention to you.
A lot more attention to you. Yep, Robert?
Well, like Jaime said, we deal a lot with the legislative aides. And I'll tell you, it's interesting, because what we do is anything that you send us during the year, and especially before LTS, with any bills that they need to sponsor, anything like that, I actually forward that up to their legislative aide, so they're prepared before we even get there to have an answer from the congressman or senator, whoever we're seeing. But it's really great, the training that you actually give us on that Monday before we go up to the Hill. You're very well prepared. You have a leader who will go there, like the state of Florida. We visit every congressman and every senator in the state of Florida, and we always have the constituents for that congressman and senator visit them, because you'll be surprised. That's the first thing they ask, are you a constituent? Right? And that's what they want to know, because like Jaime said, that you're going to vote for them or you're not going to vote for them. So that's real important. It's a very worthwhile thing to come to.
Jimmy?
One of the things we did about a year ago, Bob, is that we have now a legislative chair for every branch. Before, we didn't have that. And there was a lot of concern sending people to the LTS, learning, bringing stuff back and doing a little grassroots politicking and what have you. So this really has pushed the ball forward for us here in New York. And another thing, we also have Joe Amash. He's the president of Albany. He is now also the new executive vice president for the state. And Joe has always been very pro-legislative up in his area. So now with him on board, we really do feel at this LTS, you're going to probably see more people coming down from the New York area than probably in the last 10, 15 years.
That's great.
And we're very excited about that.
Mets fans or Yankee fans?
What's a Met fan?
Well, Bob, I'm going to go back and reflect on my first visit to the Hill. And as a matter of fact, I was thrown right into the fire that year. And I went to my first legislative training seminar, and my first visit was to Congressman Upton, who is still in office. And I went in there, and I seen a UPS truck on his wall. And he made it real clear to me he was pro-business and pro-UPS. And I said, well, I'm not here to talk about either one. I'm here to talk about the United States Postal Service. And I just winged it. And the next year I came up the Hill, I had a postal vehicle truck. And then after the third year, there was no vehicles out there. So where I kept meeting with the same legislative aide and made a personal contact with him, and this is very important for our people listening, you need to try to make a personal contact with one of their aides, and especially back in their home districts with whoever's doing the fundraising for them or whatever, because there's nothing more special when you walk into a room with 300 or 400 people and they come across the room and recognize you and where you're from. It's important to keep that relationship going and keep the NAPS agenda in their front four part of their mind of what we're doing. And I haven't looked back since then, but we have had the same thing that Jimmy had talked about. It's been going on for quite a while now in Michigan and Indiana, both having legislative people designated. But most branches, that's part of the vice president's duties or one of the state first vice presidents, that type of thing. And we've grown, and that has helped immensely because they take ownership of all of that. And when they come here to LTS, we always have a good presence from our area. And I know it gets costly or this or that, but that is one of the things that my area has made a priority and always has good representation. If we fall short with not having somebody to make an appointment or what have you that we have, members of our group will team up with each other and go in with the constituent that's from that area and help out. So I'm just excited yet. It seems like there's a lot of gloom and doom right now because mostly that's from the Postal Service telling us everything. I'm excited that we're still viable. We're still going to do the things that we need to do to be successful. And just an anecdotal piece of this, in 1997, my son came with me because I'm a single parent, and anybody listening out there, bring your children, bring your grandchildren into those congressional meetings with you, because I told them, I'm a single parent, Congressman, and this is what you're voting for or against, my livelihood to keep my son and I in a home or what have you. Now my son is an acting supervisor, and he knows the whole lingo, and everybody goes, how do you know so much? He goes, NAPS.
Let me reflect on that, and then I'm going to turn it over to Marilyn to basically wrap it all up. But talking about having your kid around or having an established relationship with a member of Congress or a chairman, I started working on Capitol Hill in 1983. My boss was elected right before LTS. The then, I guess, Secretary Treasurer or Vice President of NAPS was Ruby Handelman. Ironically, or coincidentally, Ruby was my dad's first supervisor as a postal employee. And Ruby knew that. Ruby knew that I worked for Congressman Ackerman, who was sitting on the House Post Office and Civil Service Committee. And do you know who came to that office to lobby Congressman Ackerman? Ruby Handelman, who pointed out that I was Fred Levy's son. With that, Marilyn, I'm going to ask you to close out the comments.
Yeah, well, again, I'd like to invite everyone to really get rallied up and work with your branch and consider coming up to Washington to join us. California, we have a monumental task. We have to see a whole lot of congressional representatives. And I also would share with the folks that are coming up maybe for the first time is if you get to see the congressional aide, don't be disappointed. Sometimes the congressional aide knows more than the congressperson. So that may be the one that is focused on legislation and particularly with postal and federal type legislation. And if you bring the message to them, they'll be very honored. And I'll tell you, many times I've been on the Hill, I've been coming since 1989, I have been told over and over again by congressional and senatorial staff that we are the most prepared and we have the best talking points and we are able to share our thoughts in a succinct manner. So I think that's a wonderful compliment for NAPS.
With that, I want to thank Marilyn Walton, the legislative chair of the executive board from California, Kevin Traer, vice president from Michigan, Jimmy Walton, vice president from New York, Jaime Elizondo, vice president from Texas, and Robert Quillen, our vice president from Florida. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that this is a milestone episode of NAPS Chat. This represents our 50th NAPS Chat. So until next week.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make me